Great to be here. How's that sound working okay? Great. All right, so if you have a Bible on your phone or you brought a Bible, I'm the old school, I still like to use my Bible. So we're going to look at Psalm 4. We're going to read this together. Psalm 4. I'm going to read ESV, English, whatever it is, ESV, Standard Version. Let's read together Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honour be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you just be with us this morning. We know that that would be true, but we just pray that you'll open up our hearts just to look at this word together from Psalm 4. By your Spirit, Lord, we pray that you'll take this word, make it like light shining in our face so we can see you more and more, understanding our own hearts, our own needs and our own fears and dangers, and we pray that you would work your medicine in our hearts today. I pray for all of us here gathered, Lord, that you will just bless our time together, our days, and, Lord, just continue to grow that song of love and joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Henry Nguyen, he was a writer who worked in psychology and pastoral care, said, "We who live in the 20th century are a fearful people. And the issues in our Western world that fill our hearts and minds have a lot to do with a multitude of fears. People are struggling today with a multitude of fears in their lives. People are afraid, if you talk to people, they're afraid of the future. They're afraid of rejection, of conflict. Their threat of being attacked is a big one. Sickness. Afraid of death, loneliness, and change. A lot of us are afraid of change, aren't we? Don't like change. I think I'm even more aware of fear in my own life and in the people in people's lives around me than I ever was before, actually. You know, all of us experience normal day fear. Like, that's just normal stuff that happens every day. Like driving the car or going to the shops or whatever. All of us experience that kind of normal day. Usually there is some bit of a threat, a real threat or danger, but it can be managed. Most of us would be familiar with the term PTSD. You know, it stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. And that is often associated a lot with people who worked in the military or rather emergency services. And for years after a trauma, they can relive the fear in their life. And hats off to those people that service in the community that way. That is a big job. And, you know, dealing with some of those problems they deal with every day. Sorry. I just grabbed some. The Bible has a lot to say about fear or fret or worry, doesn't it? There's a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear in our lives. We know, all know Jesus' words. He says, do not be anxious, do not worry about tomorrow. We all know that. We know Paul's words too, Philippians, might have been underlined in your Bible. Don't be anxious about anything, but everything with prayer, petition, send your requests to God. But all of us know how hard it is not to be fearing or anxious or worry about something. We've all been in those situations where we have been fearful of what's going to happen. Might be some health scare or children or something else that's going on. I think, you know, for some people it's good to seek advice, professional help, a counsellor. But every believer can ask themselves today, how does my faith in an all-powerful God change the way I deal with fear in my life today? Every believer can ask that question. So the Psalms have a lot to say about human emotions, about especially fear. There are others that said the Psalms are a medicine chest for our hearts. And they have so much to teach us. And of course, Jesus himself was the book he most quoted in the Bible was the Psalms. He often read the Psalms, prayed the Psalms, spoke the Psalms. Today I want to look at Psalm 4, and theologians say, like with the Psalms, Psalm 3 is a morning prayer, Psalm 4 is an evening prayer. Both the Psalms are connected to David, King David, a crisis that's going on in his life, okay, a real threat, real danger. So the story so far is that King David's son has turned the hearts of the people against King David. They're all turned against him. David must flee the city. He must get out of the city with the men that he has left that are loyal to him. He gets out of the city. He runs for his life. And the scriptures say that he left the city in great sorrow and distress. So he flees the city. He's got to hide or Absalom will put him to the sword. He will die. That's what he's facing here. Hide or die. That's a real crisis going on. What can we learn from David? How does David deal with his fear in this psalm? What can we learn from Psalm 4? I want to suggest three things. David shows us three. Don't ignore, but face our problems. That's the first one. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Sounds fairly simple, doesn't it? But he's going to do that. And the other thing is God can change our hearts of fear, of fearing about tomorrow, whatever it is, to trusting. Okay, so three things. Don't ignore, face your problems, cast your cares upon the Lord. God can change our hearts from one of fearing to trusting. Let's have a look. First thing, we see David face the problems, okay? So counselors and professional people in that area will tell you that deal with people's problems will tell you, face and identify your problems. To ignore them is foolish and wrong. That's what they want to do, get you to face the problem, okay? Verse 2, amen, how long shall my honour be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? This is what David's saying, speaking back to Absalom and the men that are following him. He's not ignoring his problem. He's confronting them, the people that are coming against him. The own men, well, the leading men that Absalom got with him, the leading rank, the warriors he grabbed with him to fight, to come against David. They despised David as king. They rejected his authority. David says to them, how long shall my honour be turned into shame? In other words, why do you dishonour me as the king of Israel? That's my role. I'm king over Israel, but you are dishonouring me. Only God could appoint a king over Israel. Only God could appoint a new king. They chose to follow Absalom, who was a false king, an idol, and they were listening to lies and vanity. That's what David is telling them. And to ignore the danger is foolish, but to be paralysed by fear is equally foolish. What does David do? David casts his cares upon the Lord. Look at verse 1. Go back to verse 1. If you have your Bibles, sorry, it's not up there, but have your Bibles on your phone or in front of you. Verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Now, the Hebrew word for distress used in verse 1, it's like being pushed into a corner. David feels like he's being pushed by Absalom and his men and squeezed into a tight spot. That's the distress he's under. But David is calling to God because he knows God is faithful. He reminds himself God is a God of justice, and God upholds justice in the world. Now, God has a way of working out his justice in our world, and it mightn't always be the way that we think it should happen, is it? Smash the wicked. God doesn't always do it the way we think we want it done. But God will do justice, and God will right the wrongs in his own time. Okay, this will come out a bit more in the psalm. God will right the wrongs. Look at verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Now, what's David saying? He's quoting that to himself. He's saying it back to God, but he's reminding himself. He's reminding God of his covenant. God has set, the Lord has set apart me for himself. He's reminding God what God has done. The Lord has set me apart for himself. David is king because God chose him. God appointed him. God put him in that position. God set apart David for himself. No one can move King David off the throne if God doesn't allow it. He said, I'm here like rock. God has set me apart for himself. God has set the godly apart for himself. God has chosen me to be king over Israel. That's the first thing David reminds himself of. But even more than that, King David is not only a king, he's God's son. Psalm 2 verse 7 says, the Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I've begotten you. David is king and he's called a son of God. So what's David doing? He's showing us when God has chosen us for friendship and God has made a covenant with us, that can never be broken because God has made it. See what I'm saying? God has made the covenant. God has chosen us for himself. God has set us apart for himself. That covenant cannot be broken. David is saying, that's why David says, answer me when I call. When I cry for help, God, answer me. Not because David deserves it, but quite the opposite, actually. God will answer David because he is faithful to his covenant. God made the covenant. God will uphold the covenant. God will be faithful to the covenant because God made the covenant. The covenant will not be broken because it's God's covenant with David. No matter what David does, God will not break his covenant because God will be faithful to that covenant, that contract he made. God made it, so it cannot be broken. Now, if you go back into the New Testament, you'll see more of what David is saying here. Jesus is the Son of God. He's installed on Zion. On the holy hill, and it's referring to the cross. God installed his king, and from there he will reign. And there we see a great sacrifice. We see God giving his son. God makes a new covenant through the death of his son to us. And through Jesus, salvation comes. That's the new covenant God makes with us. The only way God can do that, make the new covenant, to set apart the godly for himself, he has to make the unclean, who is us, clean. How does he make the unclean clean? Jesus must die for the ungodly. He must be our substitute. Okay? That's why you get Paul in Galatians who says quite simply, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's pretty clear, isn't it? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus is the substitute who will make the unclean clean. He gave his life in selfless love for sinful man he came. He had no stain of sin himself, but bore our guilt and shame. I think that's the key, isn't it? That's the key. We were singing about it today, actually. I put a new song in our heart. A heart filled with the love of God has less room for paralyzing fear. If we're filling our hearts with the love of God, we have less room for paralyzing fear in our hearts. Do you hear what I'm saying? David's got that in his heart. He's got a song in his heart. It just didn't get there. God gave him that song. Dane Ortlund, in his book Gentle and Lowly, I don't know if you've spotted that book before. Dane Ortlund, he's written this book Gentle and Lowly, says if you're talking about the Holy Spirit and his work in our life, if you listen to him and not grieve him, he will tell you nothing but stories of Jesus' love for you. All his speech in your hearts will be to advance Jesus, and it will be a delight to do it. God wants to advance Jesus in your heart through by the work of the Holy Spirit. God wants to increase his love in your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring him into your heart and make your heart full of his love for you. And that's what King David is doing. He's advancing the love of God in his heart. It's building and it's building and it's building. And that's happening. The story of God's love has filled his heart. The Psalms are filled with songs of God's love. David sung them. He prayed them. He spoke them. He wrote them. And that's the medicine every heart needs today. We need the song of God's love like a crescendo in our heart. That's what we need more than anything. Amen. Yeah. So far David has shown us when we are dealing with fear, you have to face your fear. You need to call on a God and remember his covenant of love with you that cannot be broken. But how do we learn to let his love change our hearts? How do we learn to get his love into our hearts? Because that's one of the hard things, isn't it? Getting it in so it's coming out. God can change our hearts from fear to trusting. And what do I mean by that? Look at verse 4. I'll read that for you. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. David's saying taking life's problems into your own hands is not the answer. Okay? We can deal with some things, but there are a lot of things we can't take into our own hands. It's just out of our hands. That's like lifting the burdens of life by ourselves, lifting all of life by ourselves, the burden of life and what life throws at you. Instead, David says, put your trust in the Lord. He's saying, leave room for God's sovereignty and power to work. Don't lift the burdens by yourself. Let God's sovereignty and power do his work. Remember the story of Joseph, okay? So Genesis 50, Joseph's brothers come to Joseph. He's second in charge. Jacob's died. Their father has died and passed away. And what happens? Joseph's brothers come to Joseph and they say, hey, if we don't go and see Joseph, he's going to repay us back for all the evil we did against him. What's Joseph say to them? He says to them, do not fear. Am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to save many. Okay? Joseph leaves room for God's power to be at work. Trust God that he loves you and will protect you. And the only has good for you. You got that phone under control? So a trusting heart is a heart that God longs to fill. Look at verse 6. While David's loyal people, they're lamenting, they're longing for the good old days. Look at verse 6. They're saying, David's loyal people around him, they're saying, there are many who say, who will show us some good? What is David doing? Who will show us good? Bring back the good old days. What is David doing? David is praying. He's lifting, he prays, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. What's he saying? Well, his people are lamenting. David is praying. Is he praying for the good old days? He's not. He says, Lord, restore your goodness to us. Lift up the light of your face. Look on us. Be merciful. Look on us. Let your face shine on us. Give us your presence. That's what I want. David wants not the abundance of wine and grain, but the Lord to restore his presence to David and the nation of Israel. Look at verse 7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. What David longed for, God supplied. He filled his heart with joy. Not a worldly joy, but a joy that couldn't be taken away. Not a joy that was created by more wine and more grain, but a godly joy, a joy from the Holy Spirit. When we have a fearful heart, what do we need? Not only the joy to be restored, but we need God's peace in our heart, don't we? When we're fearful, worrying. Now, how great it is to feel the peace of God when you're up against something really tough, isn't it? You've been there? I'm sure a lot of you have been there. If you can just recount back. You know, a few years back I was diagnosed with cancer. I had to have surgery and honestly, I was afraid. I was really afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid of surgery. I was afraid to go to the hospital. I was afraid of the outcome. I was afraid whether this is going to do it. Is this going to be the golden bullet? Is it going to get it? Am I going to still have to, you know, face the death penalty? So I wasn't feeling real good. And when you're feeling squeezed into a corner like that, your mind does a couple of things. It starts to think, you have this conversation with yourself and you think, gee, I wish I could. The good old days had come back. I wish the days would come back before I had this crisis, just before this popped up. I wish I could go back to, just take this away, Lord. What do I need it for? Or you can pray, God, I'm afraid. I don't know why this is happening, but I know, you know, I'm going to trust you that your love for me is even greater than this crisis. Your love for me is even more powerful than what I'm facing here. And with that, I was giving my heavy burden back to God. I was saying, I just can't lift this. It's too heavy. You got to take it. And God gave me his peace. I had a real peace. I thought, well, what else can I do? What can I do? God can restore peace. Whatever your heart condition, God is the healer. Again, in this book by Dane Ortlund, he says, you know, our hearts can be burdened by a multiple, by multiple of conditions, and God can heal them. If your heart be hard, his mercies are tender. Sorry. If your heart be dead, he can make it alive. If your heart be sick, he has mercy to heal. As many are the conditions of our heart, so many are the mercies of God to heal. Now, God fills David's heart with joy and he fills his heart with peace. And so David can say, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How many the enemies were surrounding David? Well, it was tens of thousands. And that would melt the strongest heart. But he says, I lie down and sleep. For you, O Lord, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know, I've kind of been looking at this psalm for weeks, reading it and thinking, there's so much stuff going on in here. You know, I thought about David's boldness. I thought, man, you're really stuffed up. All this is coming on David because of his sin with Bathsheba. God said this is going to bring a lot of calamity into your life. And it did. You know, but David could keep looking back at that and think, well, yeah, okay, it's coming. And he'd look at his disobedience and he could look at his disgrace as a king and he could just go over and over his sin with Bathsheba. But yet he was bold enough to go back to God and say, hey, I've been unfaithful. I know you're faithful. I know you're faithful to your covenant. You promised me. Yeah, I've fallen on my face and I've stuffed up big time, but you are so faithful. I'm unfaithful, but you are faithful, and that's what I'm crying out to, a faithful God. And that's what sin does. You know, it tells us when we've fallen on our face, God's just going to look the other way. He's just in shame. He's going to look away from us. He's just going to turn his face away from us in displeasure when you've done sin big time. Look the other way, displeasure all over his face. So you know what we do then? We start working. We start thinking, okay, I've got to get the credit points back. Get to work, all right? Let's read our Bible. Let's pray. Let's go to church often. Let's get on the performance treadmill and start working to get these points back so I can buy some favor back to God. And I can get the blessings to flow again. Is that how our minds think? Did your mind go there sometimes? You screw it up. All right, let's clean up. Let's get back to a good moral life for God. That's not salvation by grace. God will never hide his face from you when you've fallen on your face. And you're saying, how do you know that? I do know that. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he died on a cross and he took away all our shame. He took away all our guilt. He took away all our failure. He paid for our sin. And as he hung on that cross, what happened? God ignored him. God turned his face away from him. God hid his face. And Jesus' final words was, it is finished. And what was he saying? He says, I've taken away your sin. I've taken away your shame. I've taken away all your guilt, all your stuff-ups. I've paid it all in full. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. 100%. I've paid it all in full. And what happened? Then he hung in darkness. God was hiding his face from Jesus, ignoring his son. He turned away from him. And as he hung there, not a word was said. The Father said nothing to him. God was hiding his face from Jesus, so he'll never hide his face from you and me today. You know, this story of King David and Absalom is being played out in our world today. It's actually being played out right here, right now, in our church. Because for some of you, you are like Absalom. You are not willing to let God be your king. You're not willing to have him rule over your life. You just want to run your life the way you want to run it, and you want to ignore him, just like Absalom. You want to live your way, and do it your way. You know, the Bible says on the last day when Jesus returns, he will come again, and he's going to give us the very thing we wanted. We long for. He's going to give creation what it longs for. Creation is longing for its redemption, and it's going to get it. And God is going to give every one of us what we have longed for. And if we have longed for God, then God will give us himself fully for eternity. If that's what's in your heart, God is going to give you exactly what you want. What you're longing for God, you're longing to see him, he's going to give himself fully to you. And for those of us who've said, no, God, I'm rebellious, I'm going to do it my way, God is going to give you exactly what you want. He's going to say, I'll ignore you. He's going to say, depart from me, you wicked, for I never knew you. Don't be like Absalom and ignore the king and perish. For many of us today, we need to grow in our trust. We need to learn to face our problems. We need to cast our cares upon God and let him change our hearts from fearing to trusting. Let us fill our hearts with the joyful song of his love. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that this word, this short psalm, is just a springboard into a greater love and passion for you. Help us to see that you are a gracious and merciful God. Put your love in our hearts. Help us to grow in that love. Help us to want to honour you with our lives because you loved us first. Lord, just make this song of love in our hearts a song that we continue to sing each day. In Jesus' name, amen.